All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Wheel Wednesday. How you doing? How are you?
All right, Scott.
All right.
How are you doing this Wednesday?
I think I'm okay. For those of you who haven't seen one of these little shindiggy things, I'm Scott from Koenig. This is Nick from Koenig. And we do this every Wednesday. So if you are bored next Wednesday, come back. We'll
And if this is your first time, go back and see our old ones if you're interested in any of those topics.
I was just going to welcome them, but I see what you did. He went right for the punch. I was just, thanks for joining us, you know?
Yeah, and being that we're plugging ourselves, now would be a good time to like and hit the subscribe button.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, that subscribe thing is pretty important, I guess.
I was actually just working on another podcast that you were in, and you forgot to mention it in the beginning. I got to the end of it, and you were like, I forgot to say this in the beginning, but...
That's not true. Plus, what Nick likes to do is he likes to throw this thing right here, which tells you to subscribe.
He also did one of those things, and I was like,
Yeah. So
thanks for that.
Yeah, so if you have not been in tuned lately, we've been dropping some content every Friday on our YouTube channel. For those listening on iTunes or Google Play, that's Koenig Wheels USA over on
YouTube.
And let's see. Last week we just dropped one, which is
Hoverings.
Right.
Last week's was Hoverings. And, you know, it's starting to get a little like my memory is starting to get fuzzy because I think the past 3 weeks in a row we dropped something.
Yeah.
Maybe
we have.
Four.
Yeah.
At least right in there. At least the past three. Mm-hmm. So they're all just kind of starting to jumble together.
Yeah. You know, and we're working on content, kind of. All over the place. So, you know, we're kind of intermittent on certain videos, and that's why when we say, like, oh, which one was it? It's because it's getting to a point where I don't exactly remember which one we dropped and which one we're still working on.
But, yeah, so the last one was about hoverings. We talk about how to figure out if you need them, when you need them, why you need them, why you don't need them, and, you know, different types.
Something like that. Yeah, I mean, so we dropped that. And you know what's always kind of interesting to me, and we've talked about this so many times before,
mm-hmm.
it's all the content that I find to be the most primitive or the stuff that I don't expect to really – like to me, like when you see like, should I use hoverings, I'm just like, well, yeah.
Yeah, because you've been doing this for so long. But there are people that are just getting into this and, you know, they buy aftermarket wheels or they take wheels from another car that are OEM for another car and they don't realize once they put those wheels on, if they start getting vibration or anything like that, they're like, you know, what happened? All I did was change the wheels. So it might be primitive to you, but for, you know, for people just starting out and getting into this, it's definitely something to be aware of.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting, too, is that when you start talking about things like hoverings, you know, we get the question all the time. But, like, I mean, you know, a lot of people still don't understand what does that little ring do, right? And so we explain what that ring does in detail. The good news is it's a quick watch. It's like 3 or 4 minutes. It's not.
Yeah, it's very fast. We just kind of go in depth about it.
Yeah, so we talk about what the hovering is. We talk about when you should use it. We should talk about when you don't have to use it. We talk about, you know, is it a structural or a safety item? That's in there. We get that question all the time. Some people, you know, they feel that, you know, you'll get an installer or a retailer. They'll say, no, you don't have to use it. Don't worry about it. Or they'll say, well, I won't install your wheels because you don't have them. So
yeah.
So that's all in there. And I guess it's worth a quick watch if you have time. So, you know, make sure you check that out. We've also been dropping a lot of other content, so if you see some, you know, check it out. And also, like I said, if you haven't subscribed, please do. We're trying to drop as much stuff as we can.
Right.
And none of it's really – like, we really don't get into too much Koenig-related stuff. Like, we hope that you'll check out our wheels, but it's not
the
priority.
Reason we're doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, all the content we drop is very –
evergreen. It's very wheel related.
I mean, the A versus B was a little bit. It's a little bit more specific.
Yeah, and that's because we use our own terminology for different profiles.
So just a little bit of explanation on that.
Right, but the only thing I will say is that there's plenty of other companies that reference have their own profiles, or they'll say mid-face, deep-face, yeah. whatever it is, and the information about why certain wheels are good on certain cars.
That's general.
Right. So that doesn't apply just to us, and it's information you can kind of take with you.
Right. The terminology is the only thing that's really Koenig in there.
And I think, you know, as a person that, you know, I've been really into wheels for, you know, for 14 or 15 years or so, but as a car enthusiast mm-hmm. who's went through a lot of different sets of wheels and built a lot of different vehicles, I have been at every stage of the building spectrum, right? Like, I've been at the part where I just got my first car and I don't know anything.
Right.
And I've been at the end of it where, you know, I've built a lot of vehicles and I have a lot of, you know, knowledge, you know, that may jade me one way or another on different topics.
Uh-huh.
But what's interesting is that, you know, for people at home that don't necessarily have an access to that knowledge, maybe there's not a lot of people around them that build cars, maybe, you know, this is something that you could kind of binge watch some of our content just on the stuff that kind of you're researching when you're trying to make a wheel purchase. And again, it doesn't have to be our wheels.
Our wheels, just...
And you can quickly kind of bring yourself up to speed on the important things to know and know that they're very factual and correct. And it's not somebody that puts something on the internet and you're questioning whether
it's true or not.
Right. Right. So, I don't know. We hope that this helps you out, which brings us into today's topic. And that is tightening, or I don't even know what the right term would be. But
I don't know.
Fastening the wheels to your car. We've had this conversation in bits and pieces before.
Yeah, we mention it in other podcasts. Just, you know, like, oh, it's an important thing. You know, make sure you get the right torque spec or tighten your lugs down or whatever. And
yep.
But we've never really, like...
Had a conversation
focused
about it.
And, yeah, had a conversation about it.
It's one of those questions that we get a lot. We'll get the question, and it comes whether it be Facebook or Instagram or, mm-hmm. you know, in a YouTube comment. They say... What should I torque the wheels to?
Right.
And so here's the thing. We do not set the torque standard for your wheels. That comes from your original equipment manufacturer. So if you have a Honda, you need to look inside your manual and find out what the wheel spec needs to be, like what the torque spec is for that car.
Right.
And it's very important you follow that, because it's not about... our wheel to your car. It's about what your car takes, and that's kind of determined by a lot of different factors, but just getting into very basic ones, we're talking about how tall or how long your stud is, you know, what the diameter of that stud is, how much clamping force that vehicle was used, you know, was the factory kind of said, hey, this is the clamping force we need.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of stud or lug bolt or whatever it is, clamping force, right?
Right.
So that is something that you get right from your original equipment manufacturer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I will say that when you properly, this is how I believe that and I guess there'll be a little bit open room here for discussion between different installers. But if you're at home, this is what I believe is the appropriate way to properly fasten your vehicles that minimizes the most amount of potential issues that could happen. First thing is, obviously, always make sure that you're using the proper lug nuts, hardware, fastening hardware, hub rings, mounting, anything related. But now when you get down to tightening that wheel, when you get down to fastening that wheel to the car, get the wheel put on the hub, okay? Once it's on the hub, and this is where the hub ring should be there, right? Mm-hmm. So now let's make sure our wheel is perfectly centered on the hub. We get it up on the hub. We're going to take two lug bolts or lug nuts,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to hand thread them onto the car, you know, and make sure that before we tighten them down with anything more than our hand, that we have gotten the cone seat, because our wheels are conical, mm-hmm. right? We want to make sure that we get the tapered seat to basically kind of line up and center on the studs. Now,
right.
five lug vehicles, you're going to use a star pattern. So you're going to go kind of from point one. Maybe Nick will have a reference, maybe not, but you can find plenty of these diagrams. He's not going to have a reference. But so if it's a five lug vehicle, you're going to go from, you know, from this point down to the bottom, up this way, across, across. You're kind of always crossing the pattern, and that's right. That star shape. You're doing that to make sure that the wheel is properly seated and it's being torqued evenly. But what I like to do is I start off with one lug nut. I don't tighten it down all the way by hand. I get it close, get the other one close. And then I kind of, you know, back and forth between one and two across from each other,
mm-hmm.
just trying, you know, again, in the star pattern across from each other, trying to get the wheel down. And when you can't get turning them anymore by hand on those, both those, usually you have the wheel not only on the hub centered because of the hub ring or hub centric wheel, but now you have the lug seat really perfect. And now when you thread the other wheels on, you'll see that they just glide into the seat. The wheel's not going to shift or move or wiggle at all. And then what I'll do is after I get those two tight in my hand, I'll tighten the third one by hand across again. So now we've just done that V.
Mm-hmm.
And once I have that on, then I'll get the other lug nut started. And that's when you can, you know, wind them down. Don't use an impact gun to tighten your lug nuts.
I was about to ask about that. So what do you think? I mean, I already know what you think, but what do you think of using the three ugga dugga of just and that's it,
because
most tire shops I've been to, that's all they do.
Think you will tell the really really good wheel shops from some of the other ones. That's not right. That's not a good term. You will find some of the very technically
inclined,
the ones that go by the book, if you see them do this. They'll get your lug nuts on the car. They may even quickly blast them on with an impact gun, but they don't lace into them. They're bruh, 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 right?
Just so that you can...
Just so that they're against, so they're against the wheel.
Right.
So they centered the wheel, they got the wheel set, then they've just quickly got the lug nuts on. If they grab a torque stick or they grab a torque wrench and then they appropriately go in that pattern again, you know, in that star pattern, or if you have a six lug vehicle, there's a pattern for it. Again, eight lug vehicles, they have a pattern for it.
Right.
Three lug vehicles, they have a pattern for it. Four, two, you know. If they go through and they properly fasten with a torque wrench and then bring the wheel to its final specs with a torque wrench.
Right.
Right? I mentioned torque stick. And if you don't know what a torque stick is, it's essentially an attachment that would go on the end of an impact gun or impact wrench,
mm-hmm.
that would prevent it from over torquing past that number. So you'll have torque.
Interesting.
If you have a torque stick set, you'll have ones that are probably like 60, 70, 80, 85, 90, mm-hmm. 95, whatever it's going to be. Or, you know, and up into whatever. And so, you know, if your wheel calls for, let's say, you know, 80 foot-pounds or 85 foot-pounds, You know, they'll take the 85-foot-pound stick, put it onto your impact gun, and now what happens is it won't let it tighten past 85 foot-pounds. So in that respect, you could see somebody using an impact gun. You know, at home, I always – and you've seen me put wheels on cars.
Yeah.
I'm always like, you know, take them off with your impact gun. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
Put them back on. I always get, you know, two or three started by hand. Then I kind of – you know, and I usually – once you got two or three of them all the way down on the wheel, kind of like, hey, what's the other – But, you know, so I get the wheels seated, and then once, like, there's no more movement in the wheel side to side, so it's centered mm-hmm. on the PCD, the pattern, you know, I'll go around at that point, and I'll
start just torquing them.
Yep, exactly. And I torque them to whatever the vehicle manufactures. So we do this for a few reasons. One, we do this so that we make sure that we are properly fastened onto the vehicle.
Right.
Right? And to the manufacturer's specs. Two, we want to make sure that we are not stretching that stud.
Mm-hmm.
This is really important. The things that you don't think about, right? How many times do you think you take your wheels on and off the car if you're a car person? A lot, right? Right? Like, I know from me, even not driving my Z, you know, all the time. You know, especially in the summer months, I'm constantly tinkering on things. Even some people take their wheels off. They wash the wheels off the car.
Mm-hmm.
You change your brakes. You service things. You want to take a look at something.
Suspension. Anything like that.
Right. So you think about how many that is over the how many times you take your wheels on and put them off over the course of X amount of years. Then you change tires, etc. And think about how many times on that stud you torque them down, take them off. Torque them down, take them off. Torque them down, take them off.
Right. So that eventually, cycle, does the stud wear out?
Yeah, a stud is a wearable item that has a life on it. And what happens is, if you over torque that stud or constantly, with the impact gun, eventually there's a yield there that happens and you start to stretch the stud. Now, you can either get to a point where you eventually just break the stud.
Right.
Not as common.
But it's happened to me.
It happens. You can get to a point where you start to stretch the stud and now every time you put it on, it's going to take a little bit more force and a little bit more force and a little bit more force to properly torque that wheel down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another reason why you want to use a torque wrench. Because think about it. How do you know you really got to that many pounds just because the impact gun is...
Yeah.
Right?
Or just by feeling it out.
Right. So the other thing is, you get to a point where it takes more and more force, and then eventually that stud fails.
Right.
And then, especially if you have a car that's so many years old, right? And then... The last reason that you want to be kind of in tune is that at some point, if you over torque a wheel, not every wheel design, and they're all going to be very, very independent,
mm-hmm.
every different comp, you could potentially damage or warp the mounting surface of a wheel.
Yeah.
Right? So that's kind of the nuts and bolts of that thing.
So let me ask this, we're on the topic of tightening hardware.
Yeah.
So, torquing, in good example, your Z mounting the front wheel.
Yeah.
After you hand tighten it, and let's say you're by yourself, you don't have anyone to hold the brakes for you or anything like that, and the wheel is still.
Oh, can you put the wheel on the ground?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you do fully or do you halfway bring it down and then it? And then
what I tend to do.
I usually do it I'll drop it halfway down and then tighten it and then fully put all the.
Yeah, that's fine. I think that, for the most part, once you're properly seated, there's plenty of force there to hold that wheel in the car. But
yeah.
I do the same thing. I lower the – and this is a personal thing. That's not. I lower the car to the point where the wheel meets contact with the ground.
That way it doesn't move.
And the jack's still on it. Yeah, and then I finish tightening them, get them on the ground. And I'm also a big fan of drive 20 miles or so and then come back after 25 or 20 miles or so
mm-hmm.
and – you don't have to loosen them or anything like that, but grab the torque wrench, run through each one of those wheels and just quickly, make sure you're still at tightness. I personally, I've had my run with aluminum
studs,
racing lug nuts.
Lug nuts.
And I don't care for them anymore because I think that the weight savings or whatever you're going to do. There's Thai lug nuts that are really good, but what happens is the aluminum starts to stretch and the head sometimes they start to – bend and
the seats tend to wear out fairly fast. At least in my experience, they go in. I've seen, I have none, but I've seen when sometimes people impact them so much and the seat of it is practically bald and it's just how is that holding
your
wheel on?
And that's my personal opinion. That is not a factual thing. You have to talk to your own, local wheel and tire people about what fasteners you should be used. But, especially of late, I use I personally use the Gorilla racing open-ended lug nuts. But they're steel. They're a forged steel. It's it's a pretty hefty lug nut, but look, if you're going to be using them over and over and over again, I want something that's going to be reliable, right?
Yeah. Besides, how much weight can you possibly be saving?
You'd be surprised. Especially when you're saving every ounce. There's some fasteners there, and the Thai fasteners they're super expensive. But you've seen we pulled out even the other day. We were doing a little video thing, and I pulled out my box of whatever lug nuts, and I got all these different lug nuts in there. So I don't know. I was actually looking at one right now. I had this old set of.
We used this as a prop in our Hubbering video, which is on our YouTube channel. You want to go check
it. Set of blue ones, but anyhow, So that's that. There's one more thing I do want to mention, and it's kind of its own topic, and we are going to be doing a video on it at some point down the road. But and that has to do with thread engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we talked about stud yields and all these different things. You know, whenever you change your wheels, you can go to an aftermarket wheel or anything like that, and you put new hardware in the car. This is true for lug bolts. This is true for lug nuts. You need to have proper thread engagement. And what that means is that if you have a lug bolt, that you have enough turns through the hub of your vehicle, and mm-hmm. if you have a lug nut, that you have enough turns on a lug nut when fastening it down. The general rule of thumb for thread engagement is that you want to have at least the diameter of the stud. So in other words, if it's a 12-millimeter stud, you want to have about 12 millimeters
of
thread engagement. And if you have a lug nut that's a 1.5, you know, a 12 millimeter by 1.5,
right.
then roughly you need about 7.5 turns, you know, to get to that 12 millimeter mark.
Right.
So for the first time, whenever you're doing any one of these things, what you want to do before you, you know, bring your wheels home there is you want to take one of these lug nuts. Here's a good example. You want to hold the mic? So what you want to do is you want to take one of these, you know, take your fastener here. I'll go to the other stud. I just rotate it. And what I usually do on the first try is I'll put like – I mean, of course, you can measure it, but sometimes it gets confusing if you have like a tapered seat and it's hard to get in there.
Right.
So what I'll do is I'll put a little dot of whiteout or a little mark on it. And what I do is, you know, as it starts threading, I'll just go, you know, 1, 2, 3, you know what I mean? And I'll make sure that when, you know, by the time we get down that I have plenty of turns on it before I crank down and actually torque the wheel home.
Right.
And you should do the same thing with a lug bolt. You know, people ask all the time, like, how do you know? And the easiest way to really do it is, you know, especially with a lug bolt car, is put the lug bolt through your factory wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Measure how much of the lug bolt protrudes back out of the back of the mounting surface. Now take your aftermarket, you know, lug bolt or whatever it is, put it through your aftermarket wheel, and how much did you lose, gain, or is it the same?
Yeah.
Right? And so make sure you have proper thread engagement, because this baby's what's holding your wheel and tire on the car,
mm-hmm.
and if you don't have enough, there are some cars that are notorious for having short studs.
Right.
Those would be like Toyotas and Lexuses and stuff like that. And if you have a short stud, you know, you may easily overlook that, you know, you think just because you tighten the wheel down. And in a lot of cases, you know, people have done certain things. And I'm not trying to start an argument in the comments thread. I mean, for the most part, you know, a lot of people will be very safe or very close. But the rule of thumb is usually, you know, 7.5. You know, it's the diameter of the stud. You
right.
have that kind of thread engagement. So, I don't know. You can think of anything else that we have to do with...
I mean, I think we pretty much covered everything.
Yeah, I burned through a lot of information pretty quickly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually wasn't expecting that much info.
Listen, folks.
You'd be surprised.
I'm a wealth of unneeded information. You would be surprised how much about nothing I know. So that's really it. I don't think that there's too much more that we didn't kind of touch a base. And again, I'm sure that there's more things to some of these factors, but we're just trying
right.
to quickly glance through. It's something we get a lot of subjects on, a lot of questions on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that for the most part, it is something that's fairly relevant
right.
because you do want to make sure you're properly fastening your wheels onto the car. It's a scary thing losing a wheel while you're
Yeah, I've seen a lot of videos, but I can't even imagine like just driving down the road and like your wheel is like passing you on like.
Well, it happened to me. I had a wheel come off the car while I was driving.
Didn't we have a conversation about this? Were you on the way to the airport or something?
No. That was a big flat tire incident.
Oh, it was a flat tire incident.
Sorry. So quick story for you, and then where are we at time wise?
Running out.
Okay. So quick story. The quick story is that I was actually driving and I was getting, this happened to my friend too, but like I was getting off an overpass, not getting off. I was getting off an exit. And as I was coming around an exit, we lost a ball joint, like defective ball joint. And the wheel literally went like this and then eventually snapped whatever. And the wheel just kind of like So luckily, like it was such a slow.
Wait, what snapped off with it?
So I think what happened was when the lower ball joint broke, and the wheel pushed away from the, like, you know, attached with the hub and everything. Right. It was like, I think the stress was so difficult because I was, you know, turning to the right, like I was kind of coming around this way.
Right.
The stress was so there that it like kind of, like took the, it messed up the, like, you know, the upper control arm bow joint, mm-hmm. and kind of like, and the wheel just eventually like just came off the car. But it was going, and then like you have like no, like the steering's just, it feels, I mean, like, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of, I was like slowing down already because I was going down whatever, and the thing just kind of like came off in its resting position. But yeah, I mean, it's a scary feeling even when you're not going fast. I'm super happy that it happened when I was
going slower or right, getting ready to get out.
2 minutes before that, I was traveling about 65 miles an hour. You know what I mean? Like, pretty catastrophic.
Yeah.
Pretty catastrophic. So that has nothing to do with wheels and coming off, but it happened to me. The worst part of that whole story, it wasn't my car.
Damn. Well, kind of the best part of
it. No. It's not good. The fender was junk. The bumper was junk. I mean, like,
what car was it?
It was an Eclipse. It was a Talon, like an early Talon.
Yeah.
And it wasn't my car. I felt really bad. And there was nothing like, I mean, like, I helped the guy put it back together, but, like, you know. What do you say? It's not my ball joint.
Was he in the car?
No.
Damn.
Oh, yeah.
it was probably like, what the? Honestly, you come back with no wheel on the car.
I've never been so sick to my stomach. Well, no, I probably have. But, like, I was so sick to my stomach when I got out of the car and looked. Because it wasn't that the wheel came off. Like, changing, you know, getting on those cars.
Putting
the
wheel
then,
back on.
Getting an upper control arm, getting a lower control arm. Getting new ball joints. Like, that was not a problem. But, like, his fender, the bumper, all the tabs, you know, they were just like on that, especially on the left side, they were gone. Like the back part of the fender, the rocker cap that was on, like the plastic rocker cap, right, that was destroyed. I mean, like, it was terrible. Anyhow, so that's it.
That's it for this week's.
Don't do that. Go check your ball joints.
Definitely. Yeah.
Right? TSA. PSA.
PSA.
PSA. Not TSA. No. They check your bags.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So if you haven't already done so and you're still watching, well, thank you. And if you could throw us a like and a subscribe and all that good stuff.
Subscribe button over there somewhere.
Yeah. That'd be great. And check out for Friday. We really hope that we've had enough time to do something.
I hope so. I think so. And today, 3 p.m., we're going live. So if you're watching this on Wednesday and it's before 3 o'clock or it's at 3 o'clock, well, then
tune in. On Instagram and Facebook, every Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, we go live. We answer any questions you have. We talk to you.
Whatever they are.
Yeah, you could talk about anything you want car related and stuff like that. So thank you for joining us. It's been nice to see you. We'll catch you back here next Wednesday. Take care of yourself.
Peace.